Hey there, everybody. I'm filmmaker, podcaster, California State Certified Violence Prevention Specialist, and podiatrist to the stars, Phil Lernis. And I've been proud to be a U.S. cultural correspondent for Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive program for many years now. And I congratulate you, dear listener, on having found this oasis of podcast audio magic in the cosmos, or on your internet-equipped mobile device, or your computer, or...
Close your eyes, give me your hand, darling. Do you feel my heart beating? Do you understand? Do you feel the same? Am I only dreaming? Is this
we do, even if you're singing it over the Elvis Presley tribute, Flame in Gracelands, and so on, as we head through the Midweek Drive for the 12th of October 2016. Outrageous! It's time now to welcome noted conductor, singer, and music educator, who also has a voice which can be heard on more than 65 major film soundtracks, including most recently Storks, Star Trek Beyond, and Minions. She served as artistic director of the 100 Voice Los Robles Master Chorale since 2008. She's an awesome soul in every sense of the word. Leslie Layton, good morning. How are you?
I am just fine. How are you?
Excellent, and delighted to touch base with your good self and to talk about the Los Robles Master Chorale, formed, of course, in 1977. But since you took over the whole aspect of Los Robles has actually just improved. It's more than doubled in size and budget. It includes singers from across Southern California, and you've got choral music of all types. You are just a wonder, Leslie.
I don't know if I'd call me a wonder, but hey, I'll take it.
Well, that's fine. Now, you're a native of Los Angeles, so a genuine Los Angelino. You earned a BA in choral music at Loyola Marymount University, and an MA in vocal performance, and a DMA in choral music from the University of Southern California. We also studied with Don Brinniger and Joe Michael Scheiber. Key things about this, and we've got a fine team of wonderful folk, including the legendary, and I use that term deliberately, Chase Masterson. Chase, the equally legendary Sam Stone.
Stepping
ahead there. The soon to be legendary Tessa Snart.
Hello.
And the equally trainee legend in making Hannah Brown. And Natasha Armstrong.
Hello.
And David J. Howe, who just, he just is. I mean, that's the key thing. He just is. And we've even got, as I say...
A man out of place here.
Yeah, precisely.
He was born legendary.
So before...
Legendary.
Before, steady, David. Do not build the part, you know? Work our way through that. Chase, have you encountered the wonderment of the wonderful Los Angeles Los Robles Master Chorale?
I've definitely heard of the Los Robles Master Chorale, and congratulations, Leslie. You sound amazing. I'll have to check it out more when I get back home.
Fantastic.
Well, you know, we like to spread that radio. It's the only way that Libby is kept happy, and quite rightly so, and we know it all the... I think it's time we actually heard some. Do you think so? And just have a little flavour of magic that comes through there. And it's a cliched classic, but I think it is nevertheless a classic if we were to actually play the Walls of Joshua, as in sort of tumbling down, etc. Battle of Jericho, to be precise.
Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking maybe it's a Donald Trump number for an alternate dimension. You know,
yeah.
It's,
oh,
no. It's, as in, you know, if they came... Yeah, if they sort of came, they'd come tumbling down. We'll be with you in a few seconds after the wonderful sound of the Los Robles Master Chorale and the Battle of Jericho. Applause is needed. Yay! Just what every Hollow Suite program needs, I feel. Chase, what did you make of the wonderful sound of Los Robles Master Chorale?
That is beautiful, and yes, straight from the Hollow Suite. Could almost not be real, but it is.
No, it's amazing. I was fascinated by that. The Los Robles Master Chorale means the oaks in Spanish. I just like saying Los Robles. It's for some reason. It's there. And you're based in Southern California's Ventura County, just to the north of Los Angeles. Meaningless to me, but then I'm based in Lincoln.
We're based in Thousand Oaks, which is the reason that I think the founder named it Los Robles, the Oaks, because Thousand Oaks.
Nice.
And that's how we came up with that name, right?
And it's just progressed to go. Of course, Sam, you are a soprano, I believe.
I am, yes.
Yeah.
Top C.
To top C.
More lyric rather than not coloratura.
Oh.
Someday I'm sure you'll join Chase at some convention somewhere and you'll do a sensational sort of number.
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
I am actually supposed to be singing in Long Island next month, so.
We are.
God help everyone.
Goodness,
yes, indeed, Leslie, it's just a case of crossing from West Coast to East Coast. It can be a difficult journey, but I'm sure it will be worthwhile. Share with us.
I get to live in New York, so. So it's all good.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the New York-California axis, I was just doing a piece today on the excitement of 2017. Yes, 50 years of Star Trek in 2016. 2017, 50 years since the Summer of Love.
Wow.
San Francisco celebrates.
Wow.
Themes will be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hate Ashbury and all sorts of delightful things there. I felt as though we'd stepped a bit further from the day when we actually had Buck, our Hawaiian correspondent, actually get on the train there. So you see, Chase, there's so much to do as a midweek drive correspondent.
Who knew? I
I can't believe I didn't know till now. I'm done with my life.
all that and Phil Learness, who actually says, I have to leave town by train tomorrow night. It's all right, it's 92 series. After the Breakfast Club, which of course was this morning, to collect his sister to get her back to the Stanford Medical Center. Unexpected, requires him to miss his usual slot in the Midweek Drive. Apologies, we'll talk next week. Be well. Send my regards to your entire Drivette team.
Aww.
I hope your sister is okay, Phil.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. Leslie, let's move back to Los Robles and the Master Chorale, because I'm almost excited beyond belief that on December the 4th, 2016, at the Church of the Epiphany in Oak Park, you've got Handel's Messiah.
We do. We do. We do that every year. We do a Baroque performance of it, so the pitch is at 4:15 instead of 4:40. And, you know, so that lowers the pitch by a half step, basically, in modern terms. But is what scholars hope closer to what was actually heard in Handel's time. And we do it with a smaller group, so I usually have about 30 singers, 24 to 30, and we have a small Baroque ensemble that plays with us. It's a very intimate performance, and all the soloists step out of the chorus and sing the arias. So it's a fun performance.
In a couple of weeks' time, or in Lincoln Term Speak England, week 7, I'll be talking to some of the second-year students, I believe, in journalism about voice projection and how to actually improve the voice and various other things, kind of voice warm-up exercises. We'll come to you first, Chase, initially. I mean, you're a great believer in warm-up exercises, the notion of ensuring that the instrument is maintained and we can do all those exercises to get ourselves and the instrument working.
Oh, of course. I mean, I think that most people don't really understand the amount of training that does go into having a voice as fine as the ones that Leslie works with. It's clear, and I think that's important for actors also, and not just obviously speaking, not just singing, but speaking, which I obviously can't do right now. No, I mean, it's you've got to have access to your voice to make sure that you can convey what you want to convey.
It's astounding. Natasha, any questions from your good self for Leslie Layton?
Yeah, first of all, congratulations on that wonderful piece of soundtrack that we heard. It's amazing. You've got yourself another fan. I'm going to check you out. You're just amazing. Do a lot of your singing when you're doing your performances, do you do a lot with backing tracks, or do you sing it kind of a cappella? Is that more kind of your style, or do you mix it up? Or?
Well, we mix it up in terms of we do a fair amount of a cappella pieces, like the Battle of Jericho that you heard, which was a Moses Hogan arrangement. And then, of course, we sing, you know, sometimes with piano or piano and other instruments, or sometimes orchestra. It just, you know, the only thing that it always is live. Everything is always performed live. You know, as a matter of fact, the recording that you played was actually a live recording in performance. It was not done in a studio, so that's pretty much what they sounded like that day, which is kind of fun, you know?
And it keeps your brain active. It's physical. It gets a lot of oxygen flowing through the body. It's a social activity involving interaction with others, and it's a team activity. It's like doing a midweek drive on a weekly basis, but actually echoing the joys of the voice working through that as well. I feel, Leslie, we should have another treat, if that's okay, with little birds. Genuine little birds who probably flew in as we spoke. Would you like to introduce this little number, which is, strangely enough, entitled Little Birds? Three Little Birds.
Absolutely. So Little Birds is written by Eric Whitaker, and it's just the chorus and piano, and at the end of it, you'll hear the birds take off, and it's actually done with pieces of paper that the choir kind of flings in the air at the end of the piece, so enjoy.
Thank you.
perhaps not one if you're fans of Alfred Hitchcock or Daphne du Maurier, but nevertheless, very exciting. I think another round of applause, please.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. So, Chase, what did you make of the little birds?
Absolutely gorgeous. The voices, Leslie, you should be so proud. I'm sure you are. It's really stunning work. Congratulations.
Let's face it, Chase, there aren't many radio shows nationally that can take you from country music and the heart of redneck country through to the Los Angeles Arroblos Choir.
Yes.
Stretching those boundaries.
Exactly.
We try to pull everybody into how we sing.
I'm quite rightly so. The world will be a better place from that perspective. Joyful Noise, of course, is coming up on December the 18th at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Chase, will you be back in Los Angeles then? Will you be sort of available to attend any of these events?
I don't know. I'm in and out of town a lot this year, but I'll check out the website.
We could actually, with Leslie's agreement, conceivably actually have Chase Masterson as our celebrity midweek drive correspondent for the Los Robles Master Chorale. See what we're doing here, Leslie. And, you know, obviously, putting that connection together.
Boy, you're a mover and a shaker, aren't you?
We will look to that. We'll exchange emails and work through that process. A couple of other things that are worth mentioning. Peace and Love, of course, featuring Bernstein's Chichester Psalms. That takes place, actually looking ahead to that, March 19th, 2017, with the Agoura Hills High School Chamber Singers and Women's Chorus and classic 1960s folk rock songs. So a variety there. Going to ask the question, Leslie, in terms of Star Trek Beyond, and given the outstanding Michael Giacchino theme for what is known actually in Trek circles as the Kelvin timeline, as opposed to the Prime timeline, can be quite confusing, don't worry. Which parts were you kind of connected with? Was it the destruction of the Kelvin? Was it the opening sort of sequence? Where can we find you in terms of Star Trek Beyond?
Well, you can definitely hear, you know, I'm one of, I don't remember how many of us were on that call, 40, 50, hard to remember. You know, but I'm singing in the soprano section, so, you know.
We'll check that out.
It's going to be hard to pick me out.
I'm particularly impressed with Storks, which probably will be my guilty pleasure this year, which I think if you've had a bit of a challenging time with a convention that didn't go according to plan, check out Storks. It's a whole new world, really, another animated movie with all sorts of wonderful things in there. Tessa, any questions for yourself?
Yeah, I kind of want to know, when you've done a show, what do you do to wind down? Where do you go? Do you go out as a group? Sort of, because I'm sure after a show you're feeling, well, just alive, so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we often do. We'll plan, we'll find a pub or, you know, some place that we can gather that, you know, the choir is now up to 105, so it's kind of a large, we always have to call ahead.
Leslie, just for the heck of it, 1 week, just turn up. Yeah. Just say, you know, table for 105. Yeah. You know, it'll work.
I never thought about that. Yeah. That's a lot of you.
No,
we did that one by accident. By accident, we didn't have a plan, and everybody wound up going to the same restaurant, and it was like a horde of people descending on these four servers. You know, it was pretty nuts. But yeah, we do have a good time. You know, we like to go out and, you know, have a few drinks and have a few laughs, and that's, I think that's typical to anybody who performs, though. Mm. You know, you do a show, whether it's a theater, you know, or a Broadway show, or a classical performance, or a symphony concert, you know, a lot of folks like to go out afterwards and have a few laughs.
Yeah.
It's part of being human, let's face it. I mean, you know, Tessa has the challenge in terms of, does she actually partner up with Natasha or Hannah for Monday's special sort of press preview show that you've actually got there? I mean, let them know about that. It's a difficult call, but we'll get it sorted. Probably depending on how well you ask the last two questions too. What the hell? It's Leslie's debut on the whole thing. So, Leslie, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the midweek drive today?
I have. This has been really fun. I'd love to get to know you guys better. And, you know, you guys can find us. Everybody can find us on the web at losroblesmastercorral.org.
Exactly.
You can find us and follow us.
losroblesmastercorral.com. Natasha is already on the whole. It's .org. Yeah. Thank you. .org. Quite right. It's like Los Angeles Master Chorale. It took us about several attempts before I remembered it's .org. It's Los Robles Master Chorale .org, which will take you to the magical thing there.
Yeah.
So, allowing for that, and this is part of our customer satisfaction campaign, would you be able to return and join with us again in the not-too-distant future?
Absolutely. It would be a pleasure, for sure.
You see, that's the point, I think.
Just make sure it's not on November 9th, you know, when we're having that crazy election here.
You're having an election?
Not on November 9th.
In the United States?
They're having an election.
Democracy?
Yeah.
Sometimes the shocks that come through from our American correspondents, new and more chronologically gifted.
It's actually November 8th.
Oh, yeah.
You see that?
But if you're voting for Trump, it's November 9th.
There we have.
Fortunately, I'm not going to vote for that.
Steady on. We can't.
Needless to say, I'm not in this camp.
It's a whole new world. The good news is that Leslie Layton will return. Hooray!
With lashings of country news, science fiction views, top interviews, and a clear audio muse, it's the Midweek Drive on Siren 107.3 FM.
Into the Midweek Drive, Lincoln's first community radio station. You might have missed Cameron Tilbury live from Nashville, Anna Lewis live from Jersey, Christine Weber talking about how to mend a broken heart, and Leslie Layton, artistic director of the Los Robles Master Chorale in Los Angeles. Now, with a studio team that includes Sam Stone, author extraordinaire, David J. Howe, publisher and writer extraordinaire, and the wonders of Natasha Armstrong and Hannah Brown and Tessa Snart and Ms. Vandenberg, that would be Anna Vandenberg, and the awesomeness that is Chase Masterson. Can it get any better? Well, actually, yes. We can actually say now welcome to the production, ace actress extraordinaire. She is the wonderful Nurse Ogawa and has gone done heaps of things since then. It's Patty Yasutake. Good morning, Patty. How are you?
Thank you, and good evening to you.
Oh, you see, you're aware of the time difference, which is always a pleasure and delight, you see. It's, in Los Angeles, it's 20 past 10 in the morning. In Lincoln, England, it's 20 past 6. But I can tell you this much, Patty, you've got
up and you all are winding down.
Yeah, but you've got a heck of an awesome day ahead of you, good self. That's the important thing. I have to ask the logical question. Have you, in terms of convention, in terms of obviously Trek connections and so on, and the fact that you were Star Trek The Next Generation, Chase Masterson, of course, Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, have your paths ever crossed?
Oh, yes.
Hi, Patty.
Oh, yes, of course. Hi, how are you? I just saw Chase at the Unbelievable premiere.
Yes, we did. How are you?
Yeah. Now, you see, this is the point.
I'm good. How have you been?
Good, thank you.
Just stop talking now, Alex. Let me get on with it.
Such a coincidence.
It's structured to work on that base, you see. The universe has put us together. Unbelievable, we spoke of with Celeste Yarnell a couple of weeks ago. She was very excited, as why wouldn't you be? You got William Shatner, or a Captain Kirk character, as a 6-inch puppet on strings. Genius. It's unbelievable. And you've got so many folk connected within that whole field. Chase, how did you get connected with Unbelievable? Is it one of those things you just sort of want to just hold fire for a moment? Well, hold fire. Well, Patty, Unbelievable, from your own perspective, what were your thoughts on the whole experience?
Oh, it was a blast. It's the title kind of describes it all, because it's way out there. It has like, you know, 40 different alums from the various Star Trek series, and we all got to do things that are perhaps out of our typical genres. And so for me, it was a little bit of making a cameo, and I got to sort of poke a little fun and spoof a little at some of the work that I did in Star Trek. I think for everybody else, what was really fun is because it's an interesting alumni, and a lot of us never directly work with each other because we came from so many different series and different sets. And yet when we either at conventions or especially on a project like this where everybody gets a chance to play things we don't normally do and can kind of go way out of the box, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun, and I think the Star Trek fans will be surprised at what some of us are doing.
Well, that can be taken in so many ways, but I'm certainly looking forward to it in a number of sort of experiences. But still, life continues. Personally, I'm working on a little sequel which sees Nurse Ogawa gets together with the fabulous Leeta Darbo girl extraordinaire and actually set up as a kind of Cagney and Lacey or possibly Risley and Isles of the sort of 24th century.
That's it. HBO will buy that immediately.
That's the pitch that I'm thinking could be a workable sort of scenario for that boy. Extraordinary talent. It's like nitro and glycerin. You know, two chemicals, reasonably harmless.
That's a good title, actually. Nitro and glycerin.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not been done.
You've got a winner there, right?
Put them together and it'll blow your head off. It's amazing. So
dynamic.
Okay,
now we're definitely out of the box. Which is good.
Well, it's there. And
I love where people's imagination goes with all of this.
It's a strange, particularly Patty, when I think he once claimed to be George Takei's daughter, or at least said he would do it. And George Takei took he was a little bit concerned, I think, in terms of that. But it's all right. I'm sure George realized.
I was poking a little bit of fun, which is what a lot of us like to do, just because, like I said, the paths are crossed so unusually, not only, I mean, in the realm of science fiction, where anything is possible, which is why, you know, I love when I hear these outrageous ideas about people's, what if the character went this way or that way? And so, you know, with George, who I see occasionally, it's always fun to poke a little humor at some of the things that we did, and so that was my opportunity when I was first doing Ogawa to poke a little fun and think, oh, well, why not? Maybe she is sort of the great, great, great whatever connection. And he said, not too many greats, I'm not that old. So it sort of came out of that kind of fun. But, you know, that's what I enjoy about some of the conventions, or what I enjoyed even about Unbelievable. It's like a homecoming where you come back after many years and you get to meet people that you've admired, but you're somehow in the same realm, but you never really worked with. And then on the other hand, you get to see old friends who you don't often get a chance to see.
And so the world continues. Hannah, any questions for Patty from yourself?
Yes. I was wondering, do you have a favorite memory or moment from when you were working on Star Trek?
I have a whole lot of them. You know, what comes to mind, because it's been so many years, is I still remember the first day I went onto that set, and because it was the first day, it was so fascinating. It's, you know, it's a sound stage, it's a studio, and so, you know, you step into it, and I would see the backs of sets, but then you would go in and suddenly be in that world, and it literally transported me into that world. And yes, like I said, we get to see all of the, you know, sort of imperfections or the set work, so it takes that part of the realism out of it. And in fact, it looks so much better on camera than, for example, the props we're working with don't look half as good in person perhaps as they would on
Patty,
camera.
Believe me, if you saw the stage that was set up as a set at the Birmingham convention, you'd think, no, this is just a strange scenario entirely. Sorry, I did say I wasn't going to mention that.
But it was that sense of wonderment. It really transported me back to, like, when, you know, like a kid first going to Disneyland or something, and because I loved the show to begin with, then I had to kind of enjoy that moment, but then also then put the other actor hat on and realize I had a job to do, and, you know, that shifted into a whole other gear. But I still recall that sense of sort of excitement and wonderment, just sort of almost childlike. And I think, you know, when going to the conventions or meeting the fans and to see how far all of that has just continued to grow, it's fascinating in a really, really wonderful, lovely way.
Natasha, thoughts from yourself?
Yes, I was just looking through all of the different films you've been in, and I noticed you've appeared in Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is an excellent film. Was that... That looks like such fun to be part of. Did you really enjoy taking part in that?
I love doing that. It wasn't... it's not often that I get to play that kind of big comedy where you can take a character and they wanted, you know, a bit of outrageousness with it on the one hand. On the other hand, how to invest all of that with a real sense of heart or with a sense of care. And, you know, that challenge was great to work with, and that's what they were going for. And so for me, I love doing that kind of work. And so I'm very fond of Drop Dead Gorgeous for that reason.
I'm particularly, in fact, impressed with your work on NCIS Los Angeles, which is a classic series in its own way, because it's got LL Cool J in there. Who would have thought it? The man who actually believed he could fly is now a detective running the streets of Los Angeles for NCIS. Hence my sort of feel that, you know, the Ogawa and Lita connection, you know, nitro and glycerin, it's definitely there.
Oh, I see. Well, and yes, and then there's that's the opposite end of the spectrum where that's, you know, that's a very... whereas Drop Dead Gorgeous was a very sort of deferring and very sweet, supportive mother, who was trying to get her daughter into doing well at pageants. Then you go to the far end where very serious. We have a plane crash. We have, you know, an investigator. She's a woman of power who's worked her way up. She's working for, you know, the National Transportation Safety Board and trying to solve something that's quite deadly, which was that plane crash. And so it's like going from literally you've brought up two opposite ends of the spectrum of the work. And it's I think that's what we all, probably any actor loves about our work is if we get an opportunity to show that many sides.
Chase,
yes, the actors on that show are very cool. I have to say, both of the actors are extremely
it's
cool.
The way forward.
Particularly,
I think the small and petite head of operation. She's pretty sort of focused as well from that point of view. It's marvelous stuff. Chase, it's a matter of days since you last left Los Angeles, obviously, to take part in the interesting events that took part in Birmingham. It's Destination Star Trek. More of that perhaps later. Would you like to ask Patty any questions about Los Angeles? I mean, you might be feeling tugs of sort of feeling about is it still there? Is it still standing? I mean, it's over to you, basically, Chase, to find out.
It's not gone down the
Sunrise
fault yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess you're probably among those of us who are bracing ourselves for the potential apocalypse.
Please, look, as I told you, if it's built, the walls will come tumbling down. Where's that positivity?
It's hard to think about anything else, really. No, I don't know. Gosh, I wish I had something clever to say here. I don't miss
America. You don't miss L.A.?
I don't miss L.A. Well, I don't miss the States. I don't miss America. I'm sorry.
Of course you won't. You're with us.
Exactly.
It's way more fun
exactly.
Here.
Patty, I'm staying with Sam and Dave. Sam and Dave here are two of my very dearest friends, and... I happened to be staying with them for 2 days after Destination Star Trek London, or Birmingham, and so that's why I'm here, because Sam tapes her show after this, and so we came a little early for this, and it's just the biggest coincidence that I'm here, and you're on, and obviously, and also Larry Nemechek is on next.
Chase, fundamentally, the universe doesn't do coincidences.
It's like family again.
Exactly.
That's beautiful.
We felt we had to, in the words that I actually sent to David and Sam, cleanse the palate for the Star Trek appreciation of folk
yes.
who might not have necessarily seen, you know, the best of your goods. I mean, I'm sure they did in many ways, but it was... Patty, basically, Destination Star Trek had challenges.
It was fun, though. It was lots of fun.
As long as you enjoyed it, Chase, that's the important thing.
I think that, obviously, a big convention of that sort, which is about 14,000 people there, will always have challenges.
Which they were going to cancel 2 weeks before, and I actually sort of went ahead with it, apparently. But that's by the
no,
by.
No,
we did not hear
rumors
anything
like
that.
Going around
no, that was absolutely not true. We were all taken care of well, and the team is really great. They've got a bunch of really wonderful people that run the convention and that go to the convention. So
and that, Patty, is why Chase Masterson is just such a nice person. You know, she's marvelous. You know, she's just, anyway.
Well, as is Patty. Anyway,
and yourself as well. So Patty, when was the last time you were over in the British Isles?
Oh, geez, it's been some time. There was a convention near the Birmingham area, I think it was, a smaller one, which was really quite nice because it was one of the smaller ones, and the people were wonderful, and we did get a chance to spend some time with all of them, you know, who were both running it and attending. And that was a number of years ago. I can't even.
Well, then it's far too long. Clearly, Patty, we need to actually set the campaign going now.
Far too long for my brain to remember right now.
I personally sort of did actually go on record as saying that I couldn't believe that Larry Nemechek and yourself and indeed Celeste Yarnell hadn't been invited. Obviously, Chase clearly was there, which is good stuff. But fundamentally, you know, these are sort of just key personnel who should be around. Anyway, enough of such material. Patty, I'm going to open up the question to David, because you haven't said much, David. Any questions for yourself?
Hello, yes. Hi, Patty.
Hi, David.
What would you say was the most challenging role that you've done in all the kind of the work you've done on film and television? When do you feel you've been really challenged?
Probably the most challenging role would have come from the theater. And the only thing about that is it's only in that live setting with the audience, and unlike TV or film where, you know, decades later even, you can access it and watch it. Theater, you know, once it's done, is done. Unless, of course, they tape it, and back then we didn't really tape those things. So most of my most challenging work was done live on stage. If you're asking in terms of film and television, I've been lucky to do kind of a range of things, and some of them were challenging in their own way, either personally or professionally. So I'm buying time here trying to scroll through.
But you're
my
doing
resume.
It so well, Patty. We would not have noticed if you hadn't broken the fourth wall and actually said, I'm just buying time now, in a surreal sense of the sort of dramatis personae. Mm. Genius.
So do you think you prefer theatre work, Patty?
I don't know that I would say prefer, because it's so different to me, on-camera things and live theatre. The process is so, for me anyway, so very different in terms of just the actual physical process. And even though you're accessing and using the same parts of yourself, how you present it, of course, the media, you know, has different demands and requires that. So for me, I just find them so completely different and rewarding and gratifying in a lot of different ways and challenging in big different ways. So very different when you're, you know, every eyebrow can be detected on a camera, and where, you know, you won't get to even the first couple of rows with that kind of expression if you're, you know, in on a large stage. So very, very different challenges for the actor, and yet, again, the essence of what's being presented comes from the same source in terms of, you know, your heart and your passion and the relationship in which the story you're trying to tell on stage or on your part within, let's say, the storyline on camera.
Now, a similar sort of question, really, in terms of prepping for next week, because thanks to the awesomeness that is Max, we're coming to the offices again next week to actually speak to a certain wonderful soul called Kyle Fritz, who's been. Is there anything you'd like to share with us now, Patty, that we should maybe focus on when Kyle makes his debut about this time next week?
Oh, with Kyle. Here's what's different. You know, it's funny being in the business. I've been in the business for many decades now, and it can be a brutal business from the business standpoint. And yes, you know, our passion and love of the work is why we do this. And yet, you know, you can't mistake that to make a living in it. It is a business. And I've been working with Kyle for many decades, and yet we've been really dear friends. And that, I think, it can be very rare in this business. And so I don't know that ours is necessarily kind of a typical relationship from what I've seen. And interestingly enough, before I actually went into acting as a profession, yes, I had, you know, graduated university, you know, with a degree in theater. And yet after that, I actually went into the business side of things. So I saw that side of it up close. And then when I went onto the creative side of it, of course, then I had to change hats quite dramatically. But so I can really appreciate the kind of work that Kyle does for his clients. And again, flip the hats, because he originally was on the acting side of it. So we kind of have worn each other's hats from way back when. But sometimes it's hard for me to describe that relationship, let's say, for a general public, because it's, I think, a unique relationship, because we are dear friends as well, and yet we've managed to understand both sides of that relationship, how to, you know, deal with the business as a business, and yet it is so great for me to have someone who can support and understand the work that I'm doing, because let's face it, the life of an actor is a little abnormal. And
Come now, the life of a president can be said to say the same thing. Patty, it's been
well, that's a whole ad. We do
have the etiquette of good representation all lined up for Kyle next week, because originally, again, just proving how things just folded into place effectively, Kyle was due to be actually featured this week. He's now coming on this. You've joined us for now. Patty, have you had a reasonable telephonic link with us? Has it been okay for you the last 1800 seconds or so that you've delighted us from across the Atlantic in Los Angeles, keeping, you know, the line, as Chase would say, that LA is still there?
Absolutely. It's been a delight.
This is good.
It's fascinating to me that, you know, we could be talking like this and yet you're thousands of miles away. I'm trying to imagine myself over there in that setting, which is a little hard to do as I sit here in L.A., but...
Well, I mean, Chase was in exactly the same situation a matter of months ago, were you not, Chase? And has it lived down to your expectations?
Lived down. It's actually a great studio, Patty. Anyway, it's nice to talk to you.
There we are,
you sound chipper and cheery as ever.
She is actually now added Dr. Beverly Crasher. Lovely Crasher. Unbelievable. Sorry, I won't say any more unbelievable stuff. Honestly, Chase, just step away. Step away from the puppet.
Chase and I are in the same film, and yet, you know, we never got the opportunity to even be on set together. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. Don't you think, Chase, what fans are going to make of this film?
Oh, Patty.
She says so much. She says so much.
Chase. No, it's just... Oh, you'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
You can say right these days about it.
I tell you what, I'll run it past the ultimate critic. The ultimate critic, that being Phil Dearness. Okay, I'll make sure that Phil checks it out. And,
yeah, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, so. We'll be, of course we will, exactly. If it's got Patty Yasutake and Chase Masterson in it, it's got, you know...
It's going to be awesome.
It already gets a 7.5 out of 10. You know, that's solid stuff there.
Well, it's got dozens more, so...
Well, precisely so. Patty, will you be kind enough to rejoin us and connect again in the not-too-distant future? Will you come back on the show?
I would love to.
A round of applause for Patty Yasutake, please. Yay. I can tell you, if it wasn't for Nurse Ogawa, those Borg would have taken over in first contact with that shadow of a doubt, really. She saves the day. And relax. Dagmar Krug there with a piano sort of improvement. It's all right, Sam, you can talk while the microphone's on. What the hey? It just world of our own sometimes.
Well,
I'm sure, but at the end of the day...
know, the rest of the cast would be asking.
And remember, when all's said and done, there are producers who might be listening, and if we're not singing praises, then life can continue. It's all right, I've closed the microphone down now, apart from my own, which is awful. Sometimes you just think, what's happening with the whole sort of system? Larry Nemechek will be joining us. As I say, it always helps if I actually had the right particular sort of tune to actually press. Don't worry, it's been that kind of day. Transdimensional. Chase, any particular musical artists or folk that you'd like us to see if Mr. Computer can actually come up with the goods and say, yes, I can support you with this. Any particular artists that you think, yeah, let's see if they've got...
Lindsay Gold.
You're going for Lindsay Gold. I wonder why. It's extraordinary. It's just one of those strange and bizarre and surreal things that's actually there. An awesome soul who does actually appear in the upcoming Midweek Drive calendar, which have you seen it as yet, Tanner?
You only saw the front cover? Yeah.
All right, okay. We might actually have a repackaged version which actually features Chase in the calendar as well, of course, because Sam and David have got their particular aspects sort of together. Okay, so Lindsay Gold, any particular song that you'd like to actually cough for us that might sort of...
I'll just hand this to Sam and Dave. How's that?
You just sort of threw from some peasants. Okay, Sam, would you like to make a choice? Are we going silver? Are we going through June? Are we going Storyteller? Sometimes we're going to have to send up for medical help.
David,
we've lost
David's got a bad cough on number two that you mentioned there, which was, I think, was through June.
No, Prospero.
Oh, Prospero. How about that one?
I would say yes if it was actually... Oh, yes, the Resurrection of Prospero.
That's the one.
You see, it's not just Prospero, it's the Resurrection of Prospero.
I can't cough that, though.
Sorry. 17 minutes to 7 o'clock and suddenly it's all turning into a whole bizarre new world.
Remembrances like a polluted beach, a graveyard of mermaid dreams, swept up by the fire I used to preach. Cassandra Mark II, the scapegoat for your ego. They wouldn't listen to the truth of that traitor incognito.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
Thank heavens you know what we're listening to, Larry, because sometimes I just wonder. How are you, Larry Nemechek?
I'm fine, Alex.
Good. Already on the program, we've been dealing with the awesomeness that was ace actress Pate Yasutake. We have Sam Stone and David J. Howe and Natasha Armstrong and Hannah Brown and Tessa Snart and Anna Vandenberg in the studio and Chase Masterson's in the studio.
Yay! Isn't that wild?
Oh my God.
I know. no, Larry, I'm staying with, I'm staying with Sam and Dave, who are two of my best friends in the world, and they were going to do the show today, so I came along with them. I'm here after Star Trek Birmingham. It's a complete coincidence, and I was just visiting with them, and yeah, so here I am.
And that's just part of the magic of Trek, of course, Larry, as you'll know. I could actually sort of give you the feedback, as I shared with our colleagues in Star Trek Blackpool, sensational event, well worth seeing. Go and see it. We'll be hosting the show from the bridge over in the Blackpool exhibition, probably on October 29th or thereabouts. The fantastic sci-fi Scarborough. I could say things about Star Trek Destination Birmingham, and you know my line, Larry, if I can't say anything good about something, I prefer not to say anything at all, so let's move on then.
Well, all right.
I shared the same airspace as William Shatner. I thought that I didn't see you, Chase, actually. I must admit, by that stage, I'd probably given up the will to live.
Now, it was fun. Everyone I know had a wonderful time.
Let it go, Alex.
Exactly, I do. I can do the Frozen theme as much as everyone, but you know, somehow I feel if Larry were there, it would have all been a different world. Anyway, Larry, it's over to you. Would you like to quiz Chase about life, the universe, and various other things? Don't talk about any puppets of William Shatner or anything else. We don't want to go down that line. Thank you very much. So just step away from that particular aspect.
I didn't say that.
No, I'm saying it, Chase, because okay. I just sense through the universe that we don't touch on that sort of things.
I didn't say that.
No, exactly. She didn't. So whom would you like to speak to, Larry?
You have so much awesome there this morning. I'm just thrilled that you had a little room left over for me, because it sounds like you're having a blast. I hope so. Hope you are.
Listen, Larry, we try. We shed blood, as Hannah and Tessa will attest to, on a weekly basis, and even when David and Sam turn in on a monthly basis. You know,
we're the naughty
we do our best, you know, the start of the production. And when you've got from Norwich, Anna Vandenberg. Genius.
From Norwich.
From Norwich, exactly.
Norwich. Exactly. So are you familiar with the work of Alan Partridge?
Let's not bring in Partridge to Star Trek. The world is not yet ready. Larry, would you like to share some work with Chase? Because I think it's time we had another plug for your awesome charity, Chase, which is well worth spreading the word for. So go for it, Chase.
Well, thank you. Like I said, we are the Pop Culture Hero Coalition.org, and we are the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture. So all those great stories we love on screen or in comics, let's make them happen in real life. And we work in schools, Comic-Cons, and communities, encouraging kids in great concepts such as infinite diversity and infinite combinations. And we work with clinical psychologists and global experts who really know how to scientifically, using research-based techniques, lead kids out of bullying and into a more inclusive way of living. So it's pretty cool.
And the website is?
PopCultureHeroCoalition.org. And we're on Facebook as Pop Culture Hero Coalition, and we're on Twitter as @SuperheroIRL.
Now, I think when we spoke back in December, when I was actually allowed, in fact, this historic reveal, Larry, that we're privileged to, because due to slight technical challenges, etc., Chase was the first and to date only time I've ever been allowed to speak on the Stone Tapes. Because normally I do the Stone Tapes, I just press buttons. I don't get a microphone there. You know, I have to make do with the midweek drive, really, from that point of view. It's okay, I can chill. But when we spoke about that, we did say we would support you on this side of the Atlantic. Are you happy to continue those sort of links and continue to sort of work in a mutual supportive way for the pop culture project?
I'd love to tell you guys more as we advance.
This is nice. Larry, the interview.
It is an incredible. When Chase, I first found out Chase was working with that group and doing it, it's such a natural fit. I mean, sadly, it's a great need, but it is such a good fit, and it works so well with the pop culture and fandom worlds to come from there. And sadly, again, it seems that the need is not going away. In fact, it seems to be in the headlines these days. On a national way, so
more and more.
Chase, and unfortunately, but good for you for being in there, leading a good fight and spreading the awareness and raising the stakes in a audience that can at least maybe bring it to a young to a from the younger to the older. And
It's funny, when I founded the organization in 2013, I did it because I knew that bullying was, you know, really the major problem in the world, because I see it as the same type of issue, whether it's in kindergarten or high school or the workplace or economic bullying, gender bullying, or war. That was, of course, before 44% of our country decided that they would vote for a bully.
Chase Masterton.
Yes, it's true. That is what the polls say. So hopefully we can counteract that, because no matter what happens with the election, there is a lot of damage in our country with a lot of people thinking that bullying is the norm. You know, and that's not the world we want to live in.
Certainly not misogyny. He's got lots of that too.
Absolutely, misogyny, LGBT bullying. It's all, you know, racism, xenophobia. It's inexcusable, and it's certainly not the kind of world that we want to live in or leave for anyone else. So this work is more important than ever.
There's no place for bigotry on this bridge.
No, never, none at all. And we have to speak out about it, because if we get really polite about it and, oh, no, we can't talk about politics or anything, you know, then this is just going to continue. We have to be brave and put our foot down. And, you know, we have to be heroes about
this.
Let's
have a round of applause for Chase Masters.
Yeah, sorry though. Yay. Oh, thanks. Doing my job.
As a human. As I said to you this morning or last night, Larry, the campaign starts here, not just for Chase, but for your good self as well, to bring Larry Nemechek back to Britain. It's very important.
That's a campaign I can get behind, too.
Yeah, that's very important.
Not quite as noble as the one that Chase is working with, but I'll back it, too.
Well, it is fairly critical. As we head into the final 5 or 6 minutes of the production, Larry, this is quite a sort of fascinating time, because normally we have our director, Phil Leonis, on at this time. Phil, for reasons that we've said earlier, couldn't actually make it, but we send our best and I hope all's positive. Chase, have you been on one of Phil's Chilpack Hollywood hours?
Yes, a couple of years ago, actually, but yeah.
It's time you returned, obviously, I think, from that point of view, to clearly sort of work.
Life is so busy, but one of these days.
Well, you know, it's important. The Chilpack Hollywood listener needs it. It is your Chilpack Hollywood hour. Shameless quote for the whole sort of system there. But Chase, would you like to give me a number between 2 and 27, please?
Why?
Chase, have faith. Chase, we've worked together now for 1 hour, 54 minutes.
My number's two.
That's why she's worried.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about you. Number two, how's that?
However long it takes, however difficult it seems, or however lonely you may become, remember, you live in a dream world where everything can change in an instant, especially when you've been visualizing. Love, the universe. P.S. And especially when you know the universe.
Mike Dooley there, one of our regular correspondents, of course, from Florida, and his Universe Today thought. There we are. I trust that fitted your good self, Chase.
Thank you.
Excellent. Larry, would you like to close the programme by asking, first of all, Chase Marston, has she enjoyed the production, the full 2 hours, which actually, even your good self, Larry, you have yet, I know we've met, we did some great stuff in the sci-fi Scarborough world, etc., but Larry, first time Chase has done the full 2 hour production, would you like to ask her how she found it?
Wow. Well, Chase, how did you find?
It was unbelievable.
Oh, I see what she did there. Nice.
It sounds interesting. Yeah.
Exactly. And will you return, Chase?
Sure. Probably not. I don't know.
Not
yes.
Next week. No. Telephonically, of course, Larry's on a regular sort of season contract. It's always connecting on that basis.
There you go.
Okay.
So, Larry, have you had a reasonably interesting time on the show?
I have. This has been perhaps the most interesting time of all. That's all touches.
Well, there we are. We'll ratchet it up for next time and take it from that point of view on. Okay, Hannah, have you enjoyed the show?
Yes, I have.
Good. Natasha Armstrong, have you enjoyed the programme?
It's been so much fun.
Well, you know, I'd like to feel it's fed in the... Anna Vandenberg, have you enjoyed the programme?
Indeed. Thanks for having me.
We'll hear more from Anna from Norwich in the succeeding weeks. Tessa Snart, okay for you?
I have, as always.
David J. Howe.
It's been awesome.
Nice. Everything is awesome. No, sorry. I was having a Lego moment there. Just carry on. Sam, okay for you?
As always, brilliant. Great fun.
And Chase,
Yes, it was a blast, seriously. Thank you so much for having me on.
There we are. We had to deal with Chase's riders and the things she could talk about and not talk about. That's okay.
But the champagne's, oh, right. The champagne's been very nice.
I'm going back to my white room with the white couch and the white food and the white
has
cat.
Has Tessa
and
peeled
the, white...
the grapes for you? That's
white
what we
M&Ms.
Need to know.
Yes.
Oh, no, I'm never coming back.
Well, there we are. Thanks to Camo from Nashville, Anna Lewis from Jersey, Christine Webbel, Larry Nemechek, Leslie Layton, and Patty Yesitake, and in the studio, of course, Natasha Armstrong, Hannah Brown, Tessa Snart, and the aforementioned David J. Howe, and Sam Stone, and Chase Masterson, and Anna Vandenberg. That's it. We're out of here. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye! Bye.
A dismal dream echoing through